This is Take Care, a conversation on health and wellness produced by WRVO Public Media. I'm Catherine Loper.
And I'm Jason Smith. If you're wondering how our understanding of suicide has changed over the years and how that affects suicide prevention, you'll want to hear from our next guest. Dr. Kim Van Orden is Associate Professor in the Department of Psychiatry at the University of Rochester Medical Center. Kim, thank you very much for joining us today.
I'm happy to be here.
The Center for the Study and Prevention of Suicide is dedicated to reducing injuries and deaths associated with suicide, now both attempted suicide and completed. How exactly do you do that? How do you work to reduce suicide?
So at our center, we take a public health approach to suicide prevention. It's really kind of broadening the lens from just looking at suicide as a clinical problem, which would be kind of taking the approach of patients who are depressed, for example, or patients who come to an ER. That would be kind of a clinical approach to treatment. And then a public health approach broadens that. And that's really important because that allows us to think about communities and think about contexts outside of the medical center. Our approach allows us to go to settings like the court system or primary care for older people, the schools for young adults. And that's a way to reach people at risk who otherwise we may not come in contact with.
Do you know at this point in your outreach methods what works well and maybe what doesn't work so well?
You know, one of the reasons I got drawn to suicide prevention in graduate school was when I realized at that time when I started reading the literature that at that point there was a single randomized controlled trial in the world ever that had shown effects on preventing suicide deaths. And at this point, there are three in the world ever. Three randomized trials. I'm thinking, you know, randomized trials being the key tool in medicine for figuring out what helps people. So there are studies that don't use a full randomized design that have shown us some things that are useful. So given that we don't know a ton, what we do know is treating mental illness is important. So we know things like depression treatment are important. Things like collaborative care models in primary care for older people are important. Older adults have the highest rates of suicide of any demographic group in the U.S., and worldwide suicide rates rise with age. But older people are much less likely to seek out mental health care. So it's really important to address mental health in primary care for a lot of ages. And so collaborative care models allow us to do that by empowering primary care physicians with the knowledge and tools they need to treat with medications, and also then embedding care managers in primary care practices to help monitor symptoms, to check in with patients who may not be doing well, and to provide behavioral psychotherapies. We also know about the important role for social connectedness. That's a key focus of my work, is trying to figure out how we increase connectedness and what are the most important ways we can increase connectedness that will help save lives.
One thing that you mentioned earlier was your work doing outreach with the older population. Mm-hmm. And part of your work at the Hope Lab focuses on the older population. And it's really not a group of people that you would really think would be at risk. Is the older generation at particular risk of suicide?
Absolutely. One of the reasons that it's not very well known that older adults have such high rates is it just doesn't get as much attention, I think. When youth die, it gets a lot of attention and people hear about it, and rightly so. It's a tragedy. But there's a lot of, I think, ageism in our culture. And when people hear about older adults killing themselves, you often hear the response of, well, of course they wanted to die. They're old, or I'd want to die if I were them too. And so I think it's also kind of an uncomfortable topic. So, but it really is a tragedy at all ages. And most countries' suicide rates rise with age. And in particular in the U.S., the group at highest risk is white men 85 and older, and they tend to die on their first attempt, and they tend to use firearms.
Now, in terms of outreach and prevention, is it similar with the older population? What needs to happen to ensure that we can focus on older generations as well?
Yeah, again, it's such a complicated issue, but I guess a couple things that are important. One is primary care. Really at all ages, but especially in later life, most people are seen by their primary care physician in the weeks and months before they die. But the risk isn't detected. There's probably a lot of reasons for that. And in particular, older people are less likely to report suicidal thoughts to anyone. So a lot of groups think that then the response means that we should screen in primary care. I'm not one who believes that that's the approach we should take yet. We don't really know if that would be helpful. I think a key thing that I think a lot about is how behavioral interventions, things like screening, they're not inert. So they can cause harm, just how medications have side effects. So too could behavioral interventions. Now, I'm not saying it's necessarily harmful. It's a tricky thing dealing with suicidal people. It brings up a lot of emotions. So I think we need research to figure out the effect of screening in primary care on a large scale before we might take that approach. There's just a lot of barriers to making that happen. But obviously, at some point, primary care has to play an important role in that. And in whether it's screening or it's addressing things like social determinants of health, whether it's connecting people with resources like our Aging Services National Network, all have promise.
Well, Kim, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you.